Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show with your hosts, Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brewer, and I'm so glad that you are with us today. And Austin, I'm glad that I actually got to be on the first part of the show today. How exciting is that?
Pretty awesome.
What's going on in your end as far as the news?
Oh, nothing. Just a few interesting articles here. I've gone through some stuff today. I found a really interesting one from a couple days ago on Paxil. This is interesting. This goes into detail. You know, back in 2001, there's a study published that's showing that SSRI antidepressant paroxetine, sold under the name Paxil, or also Aeropax or Serozax, were safe, well-tolerated, and effective for the treatment of depression, obsessive-compulsive disorders, post-traumatic disorders, and social anxiety in adults and teenagers. However, now a recent reanalysis of the same data has now just been published in the British Medical Journal, reporting that it is completely not true. It is the first reanalysis of a drug trial by a collaboration of researchers called RIAT, R-I-A-T, which stands for Restoring Invisible and Abandoned Trials. Their aim is to correct abandoned and misreported studies. What's interesting, if you remember, back in the early 2000s, the study 329, which was authored by Dr. Martin Keller, and it was actually ghostwritten by Sally Layden, who was hired by the drug manufacturer, the one and only GlaxoSmithKline. And severe adverse effects of Paxil were vaguely described and deliberately left out of the report. We've heard about this many a times. We're seeing the same thing with the MMR vaccine, the CDC whistleblower. Now, the drug brought in billions and billions of dollars. It was one of the most prescribed antidepressants in the U.S. from 1997 to 2007, with more than 18 million annual prescriptions. And what's interesting is more stuff, if you remember, came out. 2002, the FDA finally got enough research back because all these people were coming in, all these negative side effects were coming in, suicidal actions, thoughts all over the place, that they finally advised doctors not to prescribe it to teens suffering from depression because it was causing so much suicide. In 2004, the FDA actually voted to put a black box label on it at that point. Now, years after trying to access GSK's data, researchers from the RIAT, as I mentioned earlier, finally got their hands on more than 77,000 pages of patients' information from the original research studies. And according to author Dr. John Jurodina, professor and research leader of the Critical and Ethical Medical Health, the author of the original study 329, he says they deliberately misrepresented the outcomes of the study and deliberately changed the protocols of the study without following the proper procedures to do so. He further notes that adverse effects were not reported in the correct way. While studying the patient-level files, they found numerous suicidal attempts that were severe enough to require hospitalization. However, these findings in the report were vaguely labeled as emotional liability to prevent them from being flagged. So this is interesting. I mean, we've discussed numerous times how bad Paxil is and how all these SSRIs are incredibly toxic and dangerous to brain chemistry and brain health. But now, here again, more clinical evidence stating this stuff was a scam, it was a fraud, they knew it caused suicidal thoughts and actions before they put it on the market, yet they still did it, they still got away with it, and now it's finally coming out that it was complete and total nonsense. That whole research they did on it was completely and totally skewed at the beginning.
Well, it's the same thing with the MMR vaccines. See, the drug companies, and I covered this at length yesterday, so I won't do it again as far as being redundant with it. The drug companies are owned by the same people that own the farmers, the banks, who own the radio stations and everything else, and the TV shows, and the media. Yeah. And this is when these are the same folks who control Hollywood. I mean, this is who owns it all. And so the reality is this: they don't want the real media to come out and tell us the truth of what's happening. You have to understand something here, Austin. They don't look at us as human beings. They consider their genetics to be different than ours. They consider us to be goyim or cattle to be used, to be harvested for slaughter, to be subhuman, so to speak. In other words, it doesn't make any difference what they do to us. They consider their DNA different. These people actually take their DNA all the way back to Nimrod, back to the Tower of Babel. They call themselves the Benign D Nephilim, sons of the fallen of Lucifer, and they really do believe that they're just the best. I guess that they're worshiping Lucifer, and that's who they're supposed to be worshiping. And this is why they don't care. They'll bogey up any study. They'll do anything they have to. And the Christians sit back idly because of the Scofield Bible interpretations and believing all of the stuff that we've been taught about not saying anything and obeying the government and all the things that we were brainwashed to do by the Scofield Bible. And they think it's okay. And none of this is okay. It's all awful. It's all part of the New World Order. It's part of all the capitulation that we're doing as far as not letting our pastors preach what they want to preach and the pastors being more concerned about their 501(c) corporations. It's all of this. And so, no, I'm not surprised that Paxil was a big bogus thing to start with. I know that most of these SSRIs, it was shown several years ago, that just fish oil has a much better result than these things do. And over 80% of the people got results from these things were getting a placebo result also from a sugar pill. I mean, the whole thing's nonsense. You start messing with brain chemistry, it starts affecting too many different components of the mind, of the speech, of the memories, of everything, to be something that's going to be good for you. So these are just unhealthy drugs. I mean, I'm not saying if you're taking these right now, you should abruptly stop taking them. I'm not saying that, but I think you should work with your doctor and slowly titrating your dosing down. And if he's not willing to help you do that off of these different types of drugs, I suggest you get another doctor. That's what I suggest you do. Because the side effects and the withdrawals of these things can be horrible. We see that, we've seen that with Xanax. I mean, Xanax. And so the whole thing is this, you know, we've got to understand something, guys. You know, these are strong, strong drugs. These serotonin reuptake inhibitors, these tricyclic antidepressants, and they're messing with brain chemistry. I've seen so many people suicidal. I had a really good friend of mine, Austin, back in the 90s. You don't know him. His name was Richard. He used to come to my clinic back in the 80s. And I remember one day his wife called me up and her name was Dorothy and she was in tears. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, they started Richard on the SSRIs and he went out behind the doggone house last night and he blew his head off with a shotgun. And I said, well, yeah, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He goes, well, I don't know what to say because I mean, it's over now. And I mean, I've seen multiple times these people have committed suicide taking these types of drugs and it totally transforms their personality. It's like statin drugs. Statin drugs make you stupid. They completely affect brain chemistry. They cause atrophy of the brain. They're horrible, horrible drugs. In fact, on my top 10 list of drugs never to use in my latest book, Austin Breakthrough Health, I classify statins as one of the absolute worst of the top 10, and they should never be put into your body in any circumstances whatsoever. And they know that. They know what statin drugs do, but they don't care. Again, it's part of the conditioning of the brain of the masses. Because remember, the folks that are being given the statin drugs are those over 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, those who remember what the United States was like when they were younger, who no longer remember that, who no longer are willing to stand in the aggregate for the rest of the people in the United States, because their brains have gone to mush. And this is the whole goal of this new world order, is to destroy us by giving us these drugs, giving us the fluoride, giving us all this. Here's another interesting article from Mario Murillo Ministries. And it says, Trump is crushing a corrupt system and teaching Christian leaders a lesson. It goes on and it says, Trump says what everyone else is thinking but is afraid to say. By the way, I'm going to add in there, especially pastors. Who knew that you could say what Trump says and get away with it? No one knew it until he said it. This is a very important thought because preachers withhold vital truth based on fearful images of what might happen and not an actual crisis. Pastors are afraid to tackle hot button issues. However, the Barna Group was not afraid to speak thousands of Christians and ask what they wish their pastor would preach on. 91% of the people in churches want their pastor to take a stand on abortion, a public stand. 86 want them to address the persecution of the church. 85 want them to comfort dependency on government, to confront dependency on government programs. 83% want them to speak out about restoring morals. And 82% want to know their position on traditional marriage. Should you take a stand? Is God, if God be for you, who could be against you? The Bible demands it. The people want it. And God will mightily bless it. And that's what we've seen with Trump, Austin. He finally said, you know, I'm done with the political correct nonsense. I'm going to step out and I'm going to say things that everybody's thinking, like, why do we not want to bring militant Muslims into the United States? And why do we not want to bring any Muslims into the United States until we can properly vet the ones that are coming in? Oh, there's a novice thought. You know, maybe we don't want to bring people who want to kill us. Oh, maybe they shouldn't bring in millions of people into Germany who want to kill them. Oh, that's another novel thought. Hey, wait a minute. What about the 60 million illegals coming in from Central and South America and Mexico? Maybe that's enough. Maybe we need to build a wall like every other country has done that cares about their borders and stop some of this illegal immigration. Oh, can't say that either because that's being a racist. I mean, Austin, it's about time that we as the population of the United States stood in the aggregate against all of this mess, and I believe Trump's going to be the one taking us there. If the corrupt GOP, which is full of pedophiles and perverts, doesn't try to stop it all.
No, you're absolutely right on that. I mean, the thing is, it's gotten to the point now with the political correctness that it's so out of control. I think that's a lot of reasons why so many people have started to support Trump. And it's not that everybody agrees with everything he says or does, because I don't agree with everything he says, and nor do I agree with everything he's done. But again, on the other hand, I definitely support the fact that he doesn't go with the mainstream establishment with the political correct BS is really what it is. It's complete and total nonsense. And here's an article now. This is how fed up Austria is getting now with this massive, massive Muslim invasion into Europe now. A statement from Wolfgang Fellner in the daily Austrian newspaper has created outrage among local Muslims. In a recent edition, the journalist stated, "Now we must permit discussions about whether or not Islam as such should be banned in Europe." The statement in the Austrian paper comes just days after the editorial in the large Italian newspaper, the Giornale, suggests the same. Both of these newspapers are regarded as somewhat mainstream and are not far-right publications, which many have suggested for some years. This comes in after terrorist attacks committed by Muslims and the lack of will to combat Islamic terrorism by so-called moderate Muslims. And this is what we're seeing now. These moderate Muslims will not protest the verses of jihad in the Quran, which would basically acknowledge the Quran is not perfect. We saw the same thing. They brought this up in Brussels, that this guy had multiple friends that he knew that were Islam over there, that he lived with, that he lived around. They knew what he was involved in. They knew what he was doing. They knew with a lot of the people that were supplying him these explosives, and nobody brought it up. Nobody said anything about it because they don't want to offend their fellow Islam brethren. Now, I can't say I agree with this 100%, but I do have to say, seeing from the outside view of what's happening in Europe and looking at the religion of Islam from a neutral, unbiased, not even being a Christian, not anything, just Islam as a religion and whole, it definitely has to be verse for verse, standing for standing, how people use it and go and further their interpretation of it. It is probably one of the most violent religions in the world, if not the most violent religion. So for two papers, an Italian newspaper and an Austrian newspaper, to bring up the fact that they want to put a discussion on whether or not Islam should be banned in Europe, that's a strong statement, but that means that a lot of people are starting to get really tired of this over in Europe.
Well, I mean, what is there not to get tired of? I mean, you've got a situation where you have millions of people coming in for handouts who want to be fed, who want to be clothed, who want to be housed, who want to be given money for doing nothing, and who want to kill you. I mean, is that something we're all supposed to sign up for and be excited about? I mean, are you kidding? This is communism, socialism run amok. These idiots. I mean, even Vladimir Putin knows that communism no longer works, and that's why they don't have that same system available over there right now. And he also says that if the West wants to do this, go ahead and do it. You know, Russia's already tried to do it and it failed. So if we want to go into this mess, go ahead. But he's not a hero, any part of it. See, the whole thing about it is when Stalin and these guys and Lenin and these boys all decided, and Marx decided that, you know, God was dead and they were going to be Satanists and they were going to bring this new world order of communism in, it wasn't about giving to the poor and splitting up the doggone stuff that the rich people had. It was about taking control and power and putting everybody into a Luciferian state in which everybody worshiped Lucifer after you expunged the thought of God and about Jesus and all these other religions. That's all they wanted to do. They had nothing. It had nothing to do with anything besides taking over Russia, you know, putting in a central bank by the Sabbatean Kabbalist, Frankist, Luciferian, you know, Satanists, and destroying the entire Russian family and killing what was there. That's all that was about. It had nothing to do about what they're trying to do as far as the socialism aspect of it. Socialism doesn't work. Every single time you try to have socialism anywhere where you have 10 people want to work their butts off every year and then they split it with the other 90 people who don't want to work, sooner or later the 10 people say, I'm not going to work either. Nobody's going to work. We're all going to starve to death. See, they tried to do it when they first came to the United States, Austin. They decided they were going to go ahead and have a huge commune over here when they first started growing food in the colonies when they first came over from Europe. And they found out very quickly they got the same amount of food, whether they worked or they didn't work. And they almost starved to death. And finally they came out and said, look, we've got to change this. We've got to let people keep the extra that they make for themselves to sell, to barter, to make more money, and to prosper. We can't be taking away everything from everybody to give the people who don't want to work. And then when they did that, the great American dream began to be realized. And remember, it wasn't until the 1400s and the 1500s and the 1600s that we were here, you know, we were still under British rule. But what was interesting about this is we still had a lot of freedom left that they really didn't take away from us until in the 1700s. And they started taking everything away with the taxation, et cetera, because they realized what a cash cow the United States was. But what was interesting about all of this, as people began to realize that the United States was going, they wanted to become the new Atlantis. And that's when they all got together and they started doing the Illuminati got together. They started pushing this big thing with the Atlantean rule and doing a giant pentagram in Washington, D.C. What a big mess that thing turned into. But in the very beginning, the United States, after they learned about not being a communist country or starting off that way, it could really work for everybody. But son, I tell you what, the Germans have had enough, the Austrians have had enough, the Swiss have had enough, the people of Sweden have had enough. Everybody's had enough of this. And the sad part about it is, now they're there, now they're stuck with millions of these guys, and I guarantee you, a whole bunch of them, probably hundreds of thousands of them, are trained soldiers that have infiltrated now into Europe, and they're going to have a big mess over there over the next few years. You wait and see.
Yes, I completely agree with that. Another article out of California now, this is a health article. You know, they did that Proposition 65, which is basically supposedly supposed to make any type of toxic compounds or anything require a warning label out there in California. The real funny about that, they've now postponed it until past May 2016. It was supposed to be this year for the BPA warnings on canned food sold at grocery stores. California plans to delay state-required warnings on metal cans lined with the chemical BPA, arguing too specific warning could scare stores and shoppers in neighborhoods away from the only fruits and vegetables available, canned ones. Instead, the state on May 11th will require stores to post general warnings at checkout counters about the dangers of BPA and note that some canned and bottled products being sold in the store may have liners for the toxic chemical. Let me tell you guys, this has nothing to do with them scaring people about BPA. This has everything to do with whoever is the makers of these cans, whoever's lining BPA, whoever is using these compounds. They do not want this stuff going on the cans because they know it will deter people from buying it when you have one that says this contains BPA in it. The problem is we talked about BPA numerous times. It's an estrogen-like substance, and it causes all kinds of issues in the body, specifically female reproductive system. It's also been linked to obesity, infertility, causes gynecomastia in men. BPA is some toxic stuff, lowers testosterone rapidly. So it's not something you want to put in your body. That's why we always tell you guys, do not drink out of BPA or the soft plastic bottles. If you have to do anything, make sure they're certified BPA-free. But I find it interesting now that they're postponing it because they don't want to put contained BPA on these cans out there in California.
Well, it has nothing to do with them not wanting to tell people the truth. It has everything to do with the lobbying efforts from the organizations that promote and produce these products. I mean, three-quarters of the health food products that you get from the health food store contain BPA in the cans. And I've given you, and if you go to the website, I wrote a whole article on it, and I actually list like six or seven different manufacturers who don't use BPA, and those are the only products that I'll buy. I remember years ago, Austin, before I knew they were doing this, because I was assuming that the health food manufacturers weren't doing that. We were bringing in a bunch of, you know, frozen vegetables here for the health food store, and I remember finally one day I thought, this plastic bag feels kind of gummy. I said, this is kind of weird. I got to find out what's in this, and it didn't say anything about being BPA-free. This is organic now. And so I called up the manufacturer, and they said, absolutely, yes, we use in our plastic frozen vegetables the BPA bag. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So we immediately discontinued the use of those vegetables in the store, and we had to go down like five or six different products that don't have it in it. But it's very difficult to do. Here's another interesting article from EuroNewsWire.com. After the Brussels ministers demand the European Patriot Act, after Brussels ministers demand the European Patriot Act, the boys that are running the show in Europe, which would be the bankers, now they're demanding, because of what happened in Brussels, that they have another enabling act, which is what Hitler used to basically take over Germany. And also they decided to go ahead and have, you know, their version of the Patriot Act so they could suspend all of the constitutions of the neighboring countries, and they could basically bring them all together just like Hitler did, I believe it was in 1933, and bring all the counties and all the states of Germany together and say, guess what, guys? We're now not going to have Germany anymore. You're all going to answer directly to Berlin. We're taking all of your rights away. And I personally believe, Austin, that's what this is all about bringing in the entire European Union now under a global government, and they're going to do it using a Patriot Act if they can facilitate it.
Yes, I completely agree with you on that as well. The thing about it is every time we see an incident like this, a terror attack, or whatever you want to call it, they always use it as a pretext or an excuse to take the rights away from the law-abiding citizens. It's always funny, isn't it? Because, you know, you see there's blatantly Islam extremists that were involved in this. Same thing we've seen multiple times in Paris. Yet the locals, the citizens, the law-abiding civilians that live there are all the ones that get treated, you know, basically like slaves, like they're prisoners. They lock down the whole city. They have no charges, nothing. They throw you in jail. They arrest you, this and that. And that's what we see happen almost every single time. After we saw the Patriot Act here in 2001, our rights pretty much diminished after that here. I mean, granted, we still have the Constitution, which is just slightly left, in my opinion, and the only thing that holds anything together as far as law and order favorably in the citizens' area. But it's very true that if they get this done, it's going to be the exact same thing again. They will absolutely have nothing left, and the rights will be completely eroded. And that's what they want. And that's why, in my opinion, they're using this massive influx of immigration on purpose to further enhance their agenda to reduce the rights of everybody living over there.
You know, it's interesting. I've often talked about the Catholic Church's involvement, and that the fact that the Jesuit right now of the Catholic, the Pope of the Jesuit, of the Catholic Church is a Jesuit. Let me read you what the Jesuit oath is. That, by the way, they sign in their own blood. I thought I'd mention that to you. This is kind of interesting. It says, I do further promise and declare that I will, when opportunity presents, make and wage relentless war secretly and openly against all heretics, Protestants, as I am directed to do, to extirpate them from the face of the whole earth, and that I will spare neither age, sex, nor condition, and that I will hang, burn, waste, boil, flay, strangle, and bury alive these infamous heretics, rip up their stomachs and wombs of their women, and crush their infants' heads against the walls in order to annihilate their execrable race, that when the same cannot be done openly, I will secretly use the poisonous cup, the strangulation cord, the steel of the poignard, or the leaden bullet, regardless of the honor, rank, dignity, or authority of the persons, whatever may be their condition of life, either in public or private, as I at any time may be directed to do so by my agents of the Pope or Superior of the Brotherhood of the Holy Father of the Society of Jesus, in confirmation of which I will hereby dedicate my life, soul, and all corporal powers, and with the dagger which I now receive, I will subscribe my name written in my blood in testimony thereof. These are whack bags. I told you guys, it's not just the Rothschild banking cartel. It's the Catholic Church. It's the Vatican. It's the CIA. It's the Mafia. It's all of these guys working together. But these guys use this dagger, cut themselves, and take their own blood, and they sign their own name in blood on this Jesuit oath. I mean, the Pope is a Jesuit. I mean, this is some messed up stuff. And this is the same guy who killed literally hundreds of thousands of people in Operation Condor when he was down in Argentina by turning them into the government down there as communist quote-unquote infiltrators. And if they wanted to get rid of them, they took them out of the back of the transport planes and threw them out 100 miles off the shore and let them all drown in the ocean. I mean, the thousands and thousands of people hated him in Argentina when I was there 3 years ago. They wouldn't even, they'd like spit when you talk about him. They hate this guy. And so this is who the Pope is now. He's a Jesuit. I mean, this is some pretty messed up stuff. If he took this oath and he really did all of this and he actually wrote and signed this thing in his own blood. I mean, also, what do you think about that?
That's pretty dark, man. But I definitely paint a picture of what these guys are involved in and what they really believe. I mean, it just doesn't get any clearer than that.
I mean, I don't even know what to say, but you can look this up. It's on Ian Paisley.com, European Institute of Protestant Studies. and it's called The Jesuit Oath Exposed. And it's interesting. It says it's listed under the Errors of Rome. So, yeah, so but I want to share that with you guys because we've talked multiple times about the Jesuits and how messed up they were. And I want to share that with you about really how really messed up they were. And here we go. Here's the top German journalist has now come out and said this yesterday that we all lie for the CIA. This is a top German journalist. Remember, they were for the CIA too. And he said, mainstream media is completely false. This is an article by Tim Brown. It says, well, most of us have known this for some time, especially in the light of the Central Intelligence Agency's Operation Mockingbird. For more on that, click here and here, which was our operation to control the mainstream media. The main difficulty we've had is trying to distinguish between what is true in the midst of all of the lies we are told. However, Dr. Udo Jufkoff is the latest journalist to come out and declare that government is buying and even at times threatening journalists to write the stories they put out. Recently, he went on public television stating that he was forced to publish the works of intelligence agents under his own name, also adding that noncompliance with these orders would result with him losing his job. He recently made an appearance on Russia Today News to share these facts. He goes, I've been a journalist for about 25 years, and I was educated to lie, to betray, and not to tell the truth to the public. But seeing right now within the last months how the German and American media tries to bring war to the people in Europe, to bring war to Russia, this is a point of no return, and I'm not going to stand up and say it any longer. It's not right what I've done in the past to manipulate people to make propaganda against Russia, and it's not right what my colleagues do and have done in the past because they are bribed to betray the people, not only in Germany, but all over the world. Wow. If more guys in the media did this often and said this, what a change we would have.
Yes, we would. It's interesting, too. I mean, more and more people are starting to do this from what we've seen. I mean, I think I saw John Rappaport's article this morning, and it looks like a screening thing. Let me pull it up real quick. They're going to show the Vax movie. They're going to start it on Friday. It's going to be
up in New York. That's right.
Yeah, in New York at the Angelica Film Center. Yep. It's going to be there from April 1st to the 15th. It's only going to be $8 a ticket, I think, somewhere around there. So I urge anybody that lives up in that area to go support that film and show everybody that, you know, people need to see it. I have a feeling it's going to have a pretty big opening now. Let's find out, though, over the next day or so if it doesn't get pulled from that film center either.
Well, you've got to remember, if it's a pretty big house up there, also, I don't know what the city is. New York has 7-8 million people. There's much media attention. See, again, they overplayed their hand again. What they always do, the media does. If they had just left it alone and not said anything about it and let it be shown at the film festival and just kind of quash it afterwards, nobody would have been yelling censorship. But what they did, they went back right back out again, and they went out and they said, you can't watch this, you're not allowed to see it, we're burning the books. And whenever you do that to anybody that's got any kind of testosterone left, they don't put up with it. They want to see what they want to see what's going on. See, and this is what's happened again. People need to realize that the harder they push against us, especially with so many people awake now, the more they're going to want to see it. I hope and I pray that that theater, wherever it shows, is packed out and that people see there's a need for this and it goes into open release and wide release all over the United States. Because if people start seeing this in the aggregate, if millions and millions of people start seeing this, they won't be able to shut it up in the media, Austin. And what's going to happen is the Food and Drug Administration and the Centers for Disease Control, they're going to be in trouble. Because they've allowed all this mess to happen, and they knew that, and they allowed it knowingly. So, good. I hope we all can support that. If you're in the New York area, make sure you go to see that movie when it's released. If it comes down here, by any chance, we're going to be seeing it. We'll be taking a whole group with us to see it. Great.
Oh,
what's
yeah.
your next story, Oz?
This is interesting, too. I read some more of the research. I saw Alex Jones did an article on it yesterday, or 2 days ago. Now, I did a little bit more research on it today about the ATF's Operation Fast and Furious. This is some interesting stuff. Lieutenant Colonel Matt Smith, retired U.S. Marine, who's basically been working on behalf of the border agent Brian Terry, who's the individual that was killed, the border agent that was killed back in 2010. And he's been an expert researcher investigating the ATF's Fast and Furious gunwalking scandal. And he's discovered now the operation is ongoing and is likely serving as a conduit for a global gun ring. This is interesting. He revealed the botched operation transferred more weapons than initially suspected or revealed, in the hands of Mexican cartels and possibly abroad. He said not only was it guns and rifles, but also hand grenades, grenade launchers, military-grade night vision, special forces tactical uniforms. He said that the number of military weapons was much more than 21 to 2,200, as they initially said. He goes, it's now more in the magnitude of 4,700. Smith asserts weapons transferring into Mexico are ongoing to this day, and his research suggests the weapons are being resold to broader international networks outside the country. He claims that Mexican traffickers were already on record meeting with foreign purchasers in 2010, and weapons linked to operation later showed up in Morocco. I think is of great importance, as he quotes here, is a Moroccan DST commander. Their DST is the Internal Security Forces. On October 16, 2010, he reported to his supervisors that Fast and the Furious weapons were in the Kingdom of Morocco en route to arm the rebels in Algeria. He also suspected that Agent Terry was murdered for digging too deep in the Fast and the Furious. And there's a article in here that goes into detail about Brian Terry's brother and the things that happened after he was killed and the people that met with him. And this is interesting, guys. Apparently, Brian Terry wasn't just some random border guard, border security that just happened to get shot. Apparently, he was digging into this really deep, way too deep. And what's interesting, they go in here, they said that he was, on numerous occasions, Brian was, he was not a part of the Fast and Furious scandal. Brian Terry was not. But he had stopped the vehicle at some point in time, a few months before he was killed, entering into Mexico containing numerous fully automatic AK-47 rifles. He radioed the discovery to his supervisors to let them know, we got automatic weapons, ATF needs to be notified, these guys need to be apprehended immediately. His response was from his supervisors were to let them through, do not hold them. He was completely troubled by this, and this is what woke him up and made him realize that there was something going on. Why are we allowing individuals with automatic AK-47s to travel back into Mexico? And the retired Marine that's been doing all this here, he said that agents, ATF started in 2006 to convince straw dealers to sell weapons to arms traffickers. And on December 14th, while conducting operations in Arizona, Border Patrol agent Brian Terry was shot and died while attempting to arrest five individuals. Two of the guns found at the scene were directly linked to the Fast and the Furious gun running scandal. This is nuts, guys. This is huge. This is way bigger than everybody even thought it was. It was already crazy. This is, and you know, it reminds me of, if you guys have ever seen, it's a movie called Lord of War. I recommend if you can watch it edited. It's got some pretty brutal scenes in it, and it's with Nicolas Cage. And it's interesting because at the end of the movie, he gets arrested. I mean, this guy is a huge weapons dealer, weapons trafficker. He's selling tens of hundreds of thousands of heavy weapons, light weapons, to all these countries around the world. And this agent with Interpol is interviewing him, and Nicolas Cage goes, listen, he goes, you got to understand, he goes, I'm not going to be here for about more than 10 minutes. He goes, you're going to get a knock on the door, and he goes, a higher-up's going to come in and tell you to release me. And he goes, they're going to say that there was a problem with paperwork, and they're going to let me go. He goes, the reason why, he goes, the government sometimes cannot be involved in running heavy weapons to outside countries. It hires me to do it. That's what I'm here for. I will not spend the day in jail. And sure enough, like 10 minutes later, he gets released, gets a briefcase full of money. They tell him to go on his way. Sorry about this. And he's gone. And this is exactly what it reminds me of, is that these guys are sitting in thousands and thousands of automatic weapons, 50 calibers, grenades, launchers, all this stuff down in the Mexican cartel. And now we find out that it's not just the cartel. These guys are moving it over to Africa to fight even more stuff over there to inflame more conflict. This is crazy, man. It just is a giant circle, and it just keeps getting bigger.
Remember what Eisenhower said, beware of the military-industrial complex.
Yep.
And this is what it all boils down to, because remember, Austin, it's all part of the CIA. It's part of the drugs coming out of Afghanistan. If you don't understand Operation Gladio, and you don't understand about the CIA laundering trillions of dollars, $1 trillion a year. Number one commodity in the world is oil. Number two is natural gas. Number three is heroin out of Afghanistan and other countries, primarily Afghanistan. The CIA brings it in our country, brings in $1 trillion a year to operate the shadow government. This is how they operate all of these covert things they do. This is the money. This is the trillion they've taken. Now they've stolen tens of trillions from the Fed, from the Treasury. You know, they tried to audit the Fed a few years ago. We'd tell them where $16, $18, $19 trillion went, and that's just continuing. So as long as we maintain reserve currency status in the petrodollar, we can continue doing this indefinitely. It won't make any difference because they're continuing to constantly manipulate the gold and the silver market through naked shorts. So the truth is this. This entire government has been taken over by basically the mob that involve Jewish mafia, Italian mafia, CIA, head people in our military. All of this. I mean, you know, I'm not picking on the Jews and I'm not picking on the Catholics because they're the ones who launder the money to the Vatican Bank. It's this whole group. It's this whole group of people that are involved in this New World Order that are corrupt to the core, with the core thing, with their fundamental belief being the fact that they worship Lucifer. They worship Baal. In fact, here's another article. April 19th, the Temple of Baal in New York is going up the same day that blood sacrifice to the beast begins. It goes on, this article is from Investment Watch, and it goes, I'm about to share with you some absolutely astounding information. It turns out that the exact day when the reproductions of the arch that stood in the front of the Temple of Baal are going to be erected in Times Square in New York and in Trafalgar Square in London is also the exact day when a very important occult festival to worship of the worship of Baal begins. On April 19th is the first day of a 13-day period of time known as the blood sacrifice to the beast that culminates on the high occult holy day of Beltane on May the 1st. In some parts of the world, Beltane is much better known as May Day. It has been described as the Illuminati's second most sacred holiday. As you will see below, if you have this article, we have indeed witnessed a disturbing series of blood sacrifices during the second half of April in recent years, and many people wonder if there's a connection. April 19th is also known as the Feast of Moloch. If you are not familiar with Moloch, or Molech, it is the ancient Canaanite god that was repeatedly denounced in the Old Testament. Child sacrifice was a key feature of the worship of Moloch, and a giant statue of this pagan deity is at Bohemian Grove in Northern California every year. I respectfully disagree, by the way, with our guest from 2 weeks ago or last week who was talking about the Easter. I don't believe that is the statue. I believe it is Baal and Moloch. It's just coincidence that the reproduction of this arch that stood up in front of the Temple of Baal in Syria are going up now in New York and London on the precise day when the Feast of Moloch is celebrated and when the blood sacrifice to the beast begins. I mean, this is some crazy stuff. When you start reading this stuff and you start to understand who these people are and what they do, remember this. Here's some events that have happened on around the 19th of April when it comes to blood sacrifices. April 19th, the Waco Massacre, an FBI assault led to the burning down of the compound. 76 million women and children were killed. April, that was 1993. April 19th, 1995, 2 years later, same day, Oklahoma City bombing, 165 people killed. April the 20th, 1999, Columbine High School massacre, 13 people murdered. April the 16th, 2007, Virginia Tech massacre, 32 killed. April the 16th, 2013, Boston Marathon explosions. In addition, let's not forget that Talon Malane Tazimov was shot to death on April the 19th, and the explosion and the fire of the Deepwater Horizon took place on April the 20th. I also want to note that since 2016 is a leap year, April 20th will be the 111th day of the year, and triple numbers are considered the power dates in the occult world. This is an article. You need to read the whole thing. It just goes into detail about why they do this and why they sacrifice this particular month and these particular days. But again, April 19th, the Temple of Baal is going to be erected in New York. It's going to be the same day the blood sacrifice to the beast begins. I mean, how messed up is this? And see, we try to tell you guys this all the time, that that's what this whole thing's about these Luciferians. But see, people think, well, it can't be that bad. It can't be this awful. It really is that bad. It really is that messed up. Let's change subject. So real quick, here's another article from Natural Health that says, taking statins actually doubles the risks of getting diabetes. I've told you guys that for years and years and years. And it says that plus it causes the brain to go to mush.
It causes skeletal muscle necrosis. It causes kidney damage. It causes cancer. Double the risk of diabetes, Austin, with statin drugs.
Wow. We've discussed it numerous times. There's so many other ways to get your cholesterol under control. First thing you got to do is diet. Second thing is, you know, the fish oil, the cholesterol X, the vascular laxin, and also cardiovascular exercise. Just 15, 20 minutes a day of cardiovascular exercise will massively boost your HDL level. I mean, those are just three basic things right there that really significantly help. So when your doctor goes all, you know, ape crazy on you and says, oh, you got to be on statins right now, your cholesterol's at 201, we got to completely suppress your cholesterol down. Just take a look at everything around you. Don't take everything they say is the word of God, because they're not. They're just doctors. And they're trained to give you medication. Understand that. They are doctors. They are not trained to give you natural supplements or holistic approaches or food plans. They're designed to peddle you prescription drugs. Most people do not understand that. They think the doctor is there to save their life. They're not. Grant, I'm not taking anything away from surgeons and stuff like that. They can do some pretty crazy stuff sometimes. It's really awesome. I've seen even on myself, you know, when they've had to have a surgery and stuff needs to be fixed, they get it done. But when it comes to overall health and cholesterol and blood sugar, guys, we don't have a statin drug deficiency. We don't have, you know, a metformin deficiency for our blood sugar. All we need to do is take basic care of ourselves, eat clean, take the right supplements when needed, drink good purified water, and exercise regularly. It's really that simple. It's not really that difficult. It really is. I mean, and we tell this to people all the time on the phone, and a lot of times people get, I think, overwhelmed. And I'm like, listen, you don't have to do all this stuff today. But start somewhere today. Start walking 20 minutes after work. Start drinking distilled water. Start picking up higher quality food. Stop eating more, you know, less packaged foods when you go to the store every week. Try and phase out the high sugary foods, the plastic foods, stuff that's packaged ready to eat right now. You know, I'm not saying don't ever eat it, but don't live off of it. Use it as, you know, oh, we're going to have this tonight as a special thing, or hey, I'm running late, I got to eat this. But most of the time, try and have your meals together and your food together that you can eat on a daily basis that are as natural as they can, instead of being in plastic. That's where, for all the BPA, they're in all those cellophane wrappers, all those microwave foods, all that stuff, all BPA in it. You cook it, you microwave it in BPA. So just simple things like that, guys, it's really easy to do. You don't have to be on all these different medications feeling horrible. There's a lot of things you can do. Go to our website at healthmasters.com. And just read some of the articles. Look at the kits we have. We have all kinds of stuff on there for free to look at, read, videos to watch, and that's why we put the kits together. We even have the basic healthy lifestyle kit for people that just want to be overall healthier and don't know where to start. That's a great place to go with. So that's what I want to say about that, because I hear so much about statins on the phone all the time here in the office, guys. You bring it up, and I love it. You guys call, we try and help you out. And when you guys listen, I'm great with it. When you guys want to argue with me, I tell you to go back to your doctor and leave me alone. Because quite frankly, if you don't want to listen, it's not worth my time or yours. You're better off staying with your medication. But if you really have the will and want to change and make yourself healthier and better and live longer, and your entire family do the same, we're here to help you guys. That's what we're here for.
Well, see, that's the thing. You know, I remember when I was in the clinic, Austin, I used to see, I've told you guys many times, 40 patients a day, you know, on busy days. I mean, it was crazy. I mean, all day, morning until night, especially on Saturdays. And what was so nutty about all that is that I had to tell the same thing over and over and over and over again. Everybody wants to make good health complicated. You know, it's like the other day I was talking to Austin, and you know, and he's here, and he's fixing to have a baby, and they're warning him about this and warning him about this. And I smiled and said, Austin, having a baby is not a disease. They've been doing this for millions of years or thousands of years or tens of thousands of years, whatever your belief is. I said, this is not something that you have to be that concerned about, as long as you have good prenatal nutrition. You had a good midwife or good obstetrician or somebody who could deliver the baby. I mean, somebody who knows what they're doing, who's had good experience and have a good backup in case something happens and there is a problem, the baby's breech or whatever. But the problem is, everybody wants to treat pregnancy as a disease. They want to treat good health as a disease. If a person feels great and he goes to the doctor says, well, your cholesterol, like Austin says, is a 201. We got to get you on these statin drugs right now, right now, right now. And you're like, but I feel great, man. My brain is great. I feel great. I got tremendous energy. I don't care
Are you going to listen to me? I'm your doctor. I said you got to start statins today. You understand? Here's the free samples. Here's a prescription. I need new golf clubs, and I've got to have that speaking fee, and they're taking me to Hawaii. This is nobody's not telling you. And I've got to sell more subscriptions. You take this drug. You take it now. You shut up. I'm the doctor. That's what they do. And they scare the crap out of you. And you say, oh, my God, my cholesterol is 201, my cholesterol is 201. And you go running, trembling and shaking in fear to the pharmacy. I need these now, I need these now, I need these now. Well, I can give you a generic, it's cheaper. No, 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 I want the ones he said, I want the ones he said. Oh, okay, okay, well, great, we'll do that. And so you get the drugs. 6 months way later, you're like, oh, man, where are my car keys, man? What am I doing, man? I don't have the energy, man. My muscles hurt, man. I'm atrophying really bad, man. I'm having kidney pain. I mean, what's going on with me, man? Why am I feeling so awful? That's how it starts.
Yep.
You felt great until you started on that crap. And then all of a sudden, now you're sick. See, it happens all the time. Drugs and medication are for only to be used, as far as I'm concerned, in chronic cases in which you have to have immediate trauma care. That's it. And, you know, not something that's long-term wise. I mean, I remember reading in the Financial Times a few years ago, they wanted to make cancer like diabetes so they could give you drugs for years, if not decades, to increase the profits. That's what this is about. And the reason they won't allow natural cures, which there are many for cancer on the market, which we don't ever promote because we don't have a license to do all that, the reason they don't allow that on the market, you got to go to Mexico or Germany to get that done, there's no money in it. And they're the pharmaceutical corporation. Look how bat crazy they went about this thing being released at Robert De Niro's film festival and him introducing it. I mean, they went app poop crazy. I mean, they went nuts over this thing about not letting this information get out. Why? Because they don't want you to change the narrative. You're in a trance, whether you like it or not. They got you in this trance, unless you're not watching TV anymore and you're off the statins and you're off the fluoride and you're listening to us and other shows like this. And all of a sudden, like, well, I'm awake now. In fact, I had a medical doctor. In fact, he may be listening right now. He did some back work for me years ago. I had some back issues about 8 years ago. And he contacted me the other day also. The guy who did my that spinal injections therapy for me over there in Tampa, brilliant doctor, told me, he goes, Ted, he goes, I heard you on Coast to Coast last week. He goes, I woke up 2 days, 2 years ago. I woke up. I realized what was going on. He goes, and I began to realize it's about pelvic tilt and not about drugs and surgery for your back and how to stay healthy. It's about exercise and stretching and eating right and making sure you stay healthy. He says, you can use a drug if you need to make sure the pain has subsided for a bit, but you don't want to be on these things chronically and forever. And I thought, wow, well done. See, this is the kind of doctor that you want, somebody who's awake, who sees the truth of what's going on. See, the truth is this. Light has come into the world, but the world has preferred the darkness. We have this illusion that we've been told and sold is what it is. And we've been programmed to believe the lie. Jesus said light has come into the world, but the world's preferred the darkness for a reason. Because we want to believe the lie. We don't want to believe it's that easy to feel good. We don't want to believe that you can change your diet and have tremendous energy and tremendous output. That's why I finally had enough of telling the same folks the same things over and over and over and over again in the office, Austin. That's when I put the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program together. Because I could tell them the same thing one time. Back then it was on audio tape, on cassette tape. And they could listen to this thing over and over and over and over and over again. And I wouldn't have to repeat myself 100 times when they came to the office. And see, that's when we finally realized that I could duplicate my efforts by using audio tapes back then, back in the 80s, and I could vastly help a lot more people than I ever could in practice. And that's why in the middle of the 90s, I went ahead and retired as a nutritionist, went on the full-time speaking seminar circuit with the success seminars, and then spoke to over 1 million people live seminars and did thousands of radio and TV talk shows. And I was able to help millions of people who still contact us, who still buy products from Health Masters, who still have been changed. I remember a few years ago, I had an RV that broke down in a friend's yard up in Georgia. The doggone steering gear broke on it, and we had to back it up into the guy's yard, and half of it was in the road, and the cops had to come from Gainesville, Georgia, to, you know, put their lights on so people wouldn't run into the RV. And so the cop had to wait there until the tow truck came. A big mess. And so I'm sitting there. I told the cop, I said, why don't you come in here and talk in the motorhome for me, and I'll talk to the coach, my wife, and then we'll make you a protein shake. And the guy goes, nah, man, I'm good. He says, I really eat clean. And I said, wow, well, we eat pretty clean, too. And he goes, nah, man. He goes, let me tell you what happened. He goes, a few years ago, some guy was up here speaking in Atlanta. It's some huge seminar. And I got a program that he has. It's called Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy. And he goes, his name was Ted Brower. You may have never heard of him. And he goes, but this guy actually changed my life and changed my health and my family's health. And we just really eat clean. And I looked at the guy, started laughing. He goes, well, what's so funny? I said, I am Ted Brower. And he says, really? He goes, really? And so he says, well, I'll take that protein shake now. So he went in the motor home. We sat there and had a blast talking to each other for about the next hour until the tow truck showed up. See, that's the impact that I want to have on your life today if you're listening. I want you to call me up in years from now and we run into each other by accident or you see me in a seminar speaking or whatever and you go, wow, Ted, you changed my life. That day you talked about that guy in that motorhome and that cop in Gainesville, Georgia, and you talked to me, it changed my life. And that's why in the Eat, Drink, and Be Healthy program, we take you through a systematic process over a period of 6 weeks, changing a little bit this week, a little bit this week, a little bit this week, to make a gradual transition. Because once you get changed and you no longer are on a diet and this is the way you eat, your health knows no limits and you feel absolutely great. I mean, I'm 60 years old. I had a purple stick this morning for breakfast. I haven't had any caffeine other than that. And that purple stick long wore off. That was like at 7:30 this morning. I have no caffeine left in me with a half-life of caffeine right now. And I really do feel this good all of the time. Now, last week I got a little bit tired because I was doing so many shows, including Coast to Coast in the middle of the night. And at 60 years of age, I don't like doing a lot of those, but I will do Coast to Coast because it has such a huge market. Here's another article I want to read to you real quick. This is from Jim Carrey. He's now criticizing big government for allowing big pharma to influence the policy of the government. You know, Jim Carrey, to be as goofy as he is on the screen, I got a feeling this guy is pretty doggone sharp because he sure is awake. He took a heavy stand against vaccines. He backed off it a little bit now. Now he's saying he's not anti-vaccine. He's anti-neurotoxin in the vaccines, which basically makes it the same thing because there's no vaccines without neurotoxins. So kudos to Jim Carrey that he's actually willing to go out there, unlike Robert De Niro, and tell the truth about what's going on. Here's another article that we've told you multiple times about. It says the higher the magnesium level in our bodies, the healthier our arteries. And the reason for that, it actually reduces hypertension by almost 50%. It also reduces the risks of coronary artery calcification by 42%, says a new study. More than 70% of the population have an unhealthy balance of 10 calcium to 1 magnesium in our many trillions of cells. This causes the plaquing in the arteries. It causes all types of health problems, guys. Every single day, I soak my feet in our magnesium chloride salts from healthmasters.com. And I tell you what, my energy level stays through the roof. And it's going to keep my arteries nice and soft and subtle. It's going to prevent atherosclerotic plaquing and hardening of the arteries. So, guys, please use the magnesium salts, healthmasters.com. Support us, support your health, and start making little changes like this with your health. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, the other one, this is funny. I saw an article, or not an article, an interview the other day of Donald Trump, and the news anchor asked him about a petition to allow open carry handguns at the RNC convention in July, the RNC, you know, the Republican convention. And it was interesting because he wouldn't answer it. Because you could tell the guy was trying to set him up in some way, shape, or form to try and twist his words around or get him to say something. And Trump goes, I have not seen that petition. I don't know anything about that petition. I'm not even going to respond to that petition until I look at it and find out exactly what it is. And apparently it was a petition that was posted to allow individuals to carry open carry firearms at the Quicken Loans Arena during the RNC convention in July. The funny thing is, it's already gotten 51,000 signatures, and it needs 75,000 to get addressed by the, I think by Congress, whoever is going to allow that. I haven't looked into all that. But what's funny now is the identity of the person that started the petition was anonymous, but it's been cracked up now. The petition is a brainchild of a Democratic activist and blogger named James P. Ryan. He claims he was being satirical rather than supporting the idea Republicans should bring weapons in the nominating convention. He said he claims he's a Democrat who is not a gun owner and is in favor of gun control and claims he is overwhelmed by the attention the petition has received. And he said it was supposed to be a satire, and apparently everybody took it seriously, which I find kind of funny. I doubt it'll get any type of traction. I mean, you have to be fairly careful when you have presidential nominees and allowing all the attendees just to come in with open carry firearms. I can't say, you know, you guys already know me. I'm a very, very strong Second Amendment supporter. It's just very strong. I have a lot of stuff. I shoot a lot of stuff. I train often. But it's funny because I knew when that petition came out, I was like, why would any, like, conservative Second Amendment person really try and get a petition signed to allow open carry at the RNC convention? I'm not saying I'm completely against it, but I'm just saying I think we need to look at it and kind of understand exactly what the restrictions and guidelines are on that, and to find out now it was just some Democrat liberal that was trying to stir up more trouble, and now it got a ton of publicity, and now everybody's found out who it was, so they know the whole thing was a giant sham to begin with. But I thought that was kind of funny, so I thought I'd bring it up on the show.
You know, what's also funny about that is, if it really did happen, it would massively cut back down on protesters.
Oh, that, now that's a true statement.
I mean, because the people, if everybody knew everybody in there was armed, and also they're attacking people and beating people up at these rallies, and all of a sudden they're like, wow, these guys are all armed in there. You probably don't want to do that tonight. You know, and
yeah.
See, that's going to be a huge deterrent. Now, of course, the other side effect is this. You may have some crazy Democrats go in there with guns and start shooting people.
That's
so
you, that you was kind of my thought on it.
Yeah,
that was
so
my thought. I was like, you know, if you have a, if it's all restricted and the people you know come in there and they have weapons open carry and they are, you know, staunch Second Amendment supporters, I think it would probably go very smoothly and it would probably be an awesome display of our Second Amendment support on national television. But there's no way you could prevent some underlying Democrat, you know, gun hater from slipping through there and just doing something simply as a negligent discharge into a crowd. That it would just cause so much upheaval in the Second Amendment community, and then it would be, oh, we need to ban guns again, blah, blah, blah. So I don't know, like I said, I don't know if I fully support it with the as much activists that I've seen lately, because I feel like they would just try and infiltrate in and try and discharge a firearm to start a bunch of just big brouhaha. But I thought it was pretty funny that the person that started was a Democrat.
Well, I've got another article I want to read you about depression and different things you can do with depression. Since we were talking about the serotonin reuptake inhibitors and the tricyclic antidepressants earlier today, but I'm not going to do that today. I'll save that show for now. I'll save that those comments for tomorrow, because you're going to have to hear this one. This is a big one. This is really big. This is on health and wellness and about depression and you know what's going on. So we'll save that one for tomorrow. Another one I wanted to read though is that now drugs are being found more and more in drinking water, and the officials are saying, "Don't ask, and officials won't tell." The lead crisis in Flint, Michigan has drawn national attention to the deadly and often underreported risks in public water supply. There's all kinds of pesticides, flame retardants, BPA, all of this stuff is being flushed down the toilets along with a whole bunch of different prescription drugs, and this stuff is finding its way into your water supply. So you gotta realize, you know, there's epilepsy and anxiety drugs in Southern California water used by 5.5 million people. There's heart and epilepsy drugs in New Jersey water used by 850,000 people. It goes on and on and on. We'll cover some more of this tomorrow, too. God bless you guys. I appreciate you listening. Thanks for supporting healthmasters.com. We'll talk to you tomorrow. We love you. Go ahead, Oz.
Yes, guys, absolutely. We appreciate you listening to the show. We'll be on again tomorrow from 3 to 4, same time. Tomorrow will be the last day of our Live 5 resurrection coupon. We did that last weekend as far as for the resurrection weekend. It's Alive, A-L-I-V-E, and then the number 5 is 5% off anything coupon. That will be good till tomorrow. If you guys need anything, email us. Let us know. We'll be here. Healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night.